Good morning, everyone. We're here on the West Coast. For us on the West Coast, it's a little bit earlier than you on the East Coast. So hello from our Surrey congregation in the Vancouver area. It's great to see everyone and talk to you all across the country. It's a first for me that I'm able to talk to everybody like this. So I hope everyone is doing well, and I think your weather out in the East Coast, I've seen some of you having a little bit of snow out there, so it's we're having beautiful weather out here, so I just to rub it in. But my message today that I want to talk about, the theme of my message is on proclaiming and living the power of this in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul spoke boldly and respectfully to the officials of the Areopagus with the power of the Spirit. We too can speak with that same power and conviction. In 1 Peter, Peter encourages his community and us today to be able to give an answer of the hope that lies within us, to be able to give a defense of why we feel the way we do about our faith. In the present time here in our Vancouver congregation, we're going through a series on everyday questions by Rabbi Zacharias' organization. And it's basically there to help equip us to be more effective in sharing our faith with our communities around us. The passage that I'll be focusing on this morning is found in John 14. In this passage, the message is entitled, Still There in the Morning, the Comforter Who Never Leaves Us. And what I want to stress is only God can fill that need in our empty hearts. And I'll get into that more in my message. In this account of the Gospels, Jesus tells us that he will not leave us orphaned, but he will send his comforter to us. Some of the most encouraging verses and comforting words are recorded by Jesus Christ in his last discourse, where he talks to his disciples before he ascends up to heaven. It says in John 14, 15 to 21, If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. For you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live and you also live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. These are some very encouraging words to us in the days that we live. Today we live in a world that has never been so connected. We're able to connect and talk to people around the world. And we're learning this through our COVID situation and these Zoom meetings, that we can connect with people that we haven't seen for years. I've connected with people I haven't talked to in 40 years, and it's as if they're right there in the room. But people are using social media a lot more in all kinds of communication. Oftentimes you see people sitting at a table talking to each other on social media instead of talking to each other in person. The demand and the need for personal conviction has never been higher than in our day today. Personal connection or whatever has never been higher than in our day today. People may have to isolate, but one thing about people, they do not want to be alone. Look at the world around us when it comes to social media, and these stats literally blew me away. 2.5 billion users on Facebook. Billion users. That's one third of the population of humanity, every man, woman, and child. And we're talking third world countries and North American countries. 2 million users on YouTube. 1.3 billion on Messenger. 1.2 billion on WeChat. 1 billion users on Instagram. And the list goes on. You can go down the list. Many of these I have never heard of, and probably I'm showing my age because as we get older, there seems to be more and more that have come up. And one thing, just to give you a little perspective on the social media platforms, the total combined population of Canada and the U.S., all North America, is probably about 350 million people. That's more. That's most of these platforms well exceed all that. 2.5 billion. That's a lot more than 350 million. So kind of the stats blew me away on how much we have in social media. In the country of Canada, for example, some of the smallest platforms, our population of Canada is half of the people that are using on the, some of the smallest social media platforms. So it shows you how many people are using media in this world. And even though they're using media, media for many people is a very lonely life. We're living on a lonely planet. People want connection, they want to belong. One of the things too, when you look at many of the people, they want to connect and they really want relationships. They want to be loved. They want to be a part of a group. Well, as you can see, we take the gospel to a hurting world, don't we? And social media is a big part of the world that we live in. And I've often wondered, you know, could we as a church be more effective in our social media platforms? I think yes. When one third of the earth is literally on social media, how can we more effectively take the gospel out to the world on social media platforms? I think there's a big opportunity there for us. So why do people crave social media? Why is there such a craving to be linked to others? As I said before, people want to be connected. They want to be loved. They want to be included. People don't want to wake up in the morning and be alone, or wake up at the end of their lives and be alone. This being said, many still go on with their lives and live their lives. And I've heard a number of people say this at the end of their life, saying, I wish I would have spent more time with the family at home. Many of these people might have become successful business people in the eyes of the world. But in the meantime, they've lost their family, they've lost their spouses, they've lost their kids. So it's for many, it's a sad world. Even though we live in an unprecedented world of social media, many people still feel very much alone, very much separate. Suicides are at an all-time high. People crave relationships, and because they're not finding the depths in social media. Today we live in a society that offers us many solutions to life's drudgeries. Even the media promotes other things that they think can fill the needs in our lives. If you only do this, if you only have this, you'll be happy. You'll be successful. Maybe it's having a successful career, thinking everyone will admire you for all your achievements you've done. Maybe it's getting rich and having lots of money, feeling money can buy you happiness and joy. Maybe it's promoting a loose lifestyle, living a life of entertainment and luxuriousness, and thinking the pleasures will bring happiness and joy. Maybe it's fame, thinking that everyone, if they get to know you, you know, it'll make you happy because they see you and know you. Over time, however, each of these self-created hopes for love and meaning and relationships quickly fade into insignificance. They get old, and still there's that aching and longing, a restlessness there that I need more. Is there something else? People are restless, wanting something more, and they're not sure, they don't want to stay with what the status quo is. There was one man in the Bible that had the same yearning or longing. King Solomon, one of the wisest men who ever lived, went through the same scenario, and he tells us a little bit about it. We read in Ecclesiastes 2, 3 to 11. Solomon says, I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine, my heart still guiding me with wisdom and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of our life here on earth. He understood that life was short. He said, I made great works. I built houses. I planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I had great possessions of herds and flocks, more than anybody who had been before me. I also gathered